morning has turned to afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone.
But the grind carries on.
Not just the grind physically, but the grind mentally.
The Midday Grind, featuring a couple of TV jockeys who've also been through the radio wars.
You serious?
Martin Kilcoyne.
I was a little lit, so I was saying whatever I wanted.
And Charlie Marlowe.
Our top story tonight, John Jay will be back tomorrow. Here's him getting a hit in 2012.
It's the Midday Grind on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Tuesday edition of the Midday Grind. Martin Kilcoyne, Charlie Marlowe, Chris Gardner, and the gang hanging out downtown in the shadows of Busch Stadium. The Cardinals won a game. We decided that's a winning streak, and we're going to celebrate by hanging out at Patio's from noon until 3. And, Chuck, this is going to be a good one. I'm not going to lie. This is going to be a good one.
I think they're always good ones. You're saying that as if some of our shows aren't.
I would never say that, but this is going to be a good one. Kenny Wallace, it's Tuesdays with Kenny. NASCAR's own, Fox Sports' own, Kenny Wallace, diehard Cardinal fan, somebody who always brings the energy, the passion that maybe we lack at times.
And the Jake break.
He's going to be with us on site, hanging out at Patio. So if you have a hubcap you'd like autographed, if you have that fender that you have hanging on the wall in the basement and you've always wanted Kenny Wallace to sign it.
Maybe a new car scent, you know what I'm saying,
packet.
Freshener. Air freshener.
So bring your curb feeler, your fender, your hubcap. Bring it to Patio's. Have a great lunch, and then have Kenny Wallace sign it. Also, Isaac Bruce checks in with us. He's in town. Once again, the Isaac Bruce Foundation doing something in St. Louis. And it's either Izzy or Iggy. I was concerned when I texted, you know, Gardner to have Izzy on the program. I thought, what if we end up with Iggy? I mean, no offense. I love Iggy. But I think we have Izzy, Jason Isringhausen, the former Cardinal who now works for the team. We'll talk baseball. But also, Izzy's daughter sort of outed him on social media. He was making fun, perhaps, of her senior pictures.
I don't think perhaps. I think
he was mocking his daughter and her senior pictures. You know, the girls take their pictures popping out from behind the tree, and I believe he did his version of that.
First of all, I don't think that's just girls. I think all
you
the
popped out behind a tree.
I remember doing a picture leaning up against a tree. I remember a stupid picture. I was wearing my high school baseball jersey, and I had like a baseball bat kind of posed on my shoulder, and they all just look really stupid and awkward after the fact.
The weirdest photo I almost took would have been for St. Louis Magazine. Charles, a few years back when I was more prominent, I was on the St. Louis Magazine A-list.
Ooh.
And they said, can we follow you around Busch Stadium and take some photos? And again, like we talked about yesterday, not a big photo guy. Even though I'm on TV, I don't really like being on picture, on camera.
Why are you in this business?
That's a fair, because I have hot takes I'd like to deliver.
Okay.
So he said, the photographer, you do me a favor and take that microphone. And it was on a cable. It was a cabled microphone, TV term. And he said, could you just kind of like sling it over your shoulder after a hard day's work? I said, I don't think I can do that. And he said, you know, just kind of like a fun photo. Just you've been doing interviews all day, and you're just kind of wiped out and just kind of sling it over your shoulder.
That sounds really dumb.
And I said, I just can't do that. And I
think you made the right call.
Thank you. Thanks for
your
support.
Okay, you didn't. Good.
I did not take that photo. Anyway, Izzy and his daughter, Social Media Wars. It's really more of a father-daughter segment. We'll get into that, Jason Isringhausen. And we're going to debut a new segment, Charles. You like the segments.
Crush it or rush it.
No.
Dip it or slip it.
That'll be with Strix tomorrow.
Run it or bun it.
Nope.
No bunny.
Nope.
Slash it or bash it.
Nope. Keep going. From Triad Bank.
Oh, I knew there was a sponsor.
New sponsor, Triad Bank.
Welcome aboard.
We love Triad Bank. I do some banking there. I like to say it's the friendly confines. I know that's what they say about Wrigley Field, but since Wrigley Field has changed their whole look, Triad Bank is the original friendly confines. When you walk into a bank and there are actual tellers behind the counter, instead of that huge space that the National Bank has, and you walk in, there's like one person behind the counter and 40 people in line. Triad Bank. They actually have people waiting on you. It's a great spot. It's on Clayton Road, just west of Lindbergh, right past the Tim Hortons, because I always use a food reference, Chuck.
Timbits.
Triadbanking.com, their website. It is a local bank, so when you're a local business, so if you're a small business owner, think about doing local business with a local bank where that money is borrowed locally. Triad Bank, the new sponsor of Take It to the Bank. The way that will work later, you can text in your version of Take It to the Bank. For example, Chuck, it would go like this. Lance Lynn will win 15 games.
Take it to the bank.
Trevor Rosenthal will be the Cardinals' closer in 2 weeks.
I'm going to say,
in what, less
don't
than
make
weeks.
That deposit. What do I say?
No, no. You just have to. These are my declarations. I'm taking it to the bank.
Oh.
You'll have your own that you take to the bank.
So I say bank error, not in your favor.
Tarasenko will score in game 4. Take it to the bank, okay? That's how that works.
Okay.
We'll do that a little bit later. Mentioning the Blues, you just came for the practice. I won't call it a skate. It was a practice.
It was a full-on legit practice. I want to say they were out there for, I don't want to say an hour, but darn close to an hour. And the big news, Paul Stastny on the ice, skating, looking to be moving pretty well. And Mike Yeo just spoke with the media. I think he probably still is. And said Stastny is day-to-day, but that's certainly a good sign. Stastny has been out since what?
For a while,
March.
For a while.
March 21st, so he missed the final 10 games of the regular season and, of course, the first 3 playoff games. So I don't know. I don't know if he'll play in game 4, but it seems like just – and, again, I'm not Mr. Hockey and watching the body.
Mr.
And
Hockey is in the 2 o'clock hour.
How it's – you know, how he's moving and skating, but he seemed to be close to a full participant. So you'd think if he doesn't play – tomorrow, very good chance that he would play if there is a game 5. And again, when it gets to hockey playoffs especially, we don't talk injuries. It's a lower body injury, but a lot of people assuming he may have broken that foot, a small break in that foot, taking that shot.
And I'm sure there's going to be some rust that's to be understood when he comes back. But think about that boost, a player like that, a top-line center, especially for a team that's struggling with the face-off. Maybe a guy who could set up Tarasenko even more to get him some more scoring opportunities. What a huge boost that is for a team. If you can just survive, advance in that first round, and you're up 3-0, huge lift to add somebody like Stastny as you move forward. By the way, the Hawks, I said don't count them out. I would have taken that to the bank yesterday. Luckily, we didn't do that segment yesterday. Hawks were up 2-0. I was running around Fox 2 last night telling all of our Chicago people, you know the Hawks are going to win. You know they're going to win tonight. You know they're going to come back.
Most people thought that.
Not only did you think that going into that game, then they're winning 2-0. You're like, they're going to just crush the Predators' hearts. Instead, crushing overtime loss for Chicago. Now I'll say it. The Hawks are done. They're not coming back from this. They may win a game or two, but they're not coming back from this.
You know what?
You're still afraid to say it.
I am not going to say that. I'm really not going to say that. I'm not going to say that for the Blues as well. Although I have more confidence that the Blues will close out tomorrow. But this Hawks team, they have won 3 cups. I understand it is a uphill climb now, down 3-0. I will not count the Chicago Blackhawks out until they are done.
And by the way, the downtime in these playoffs, it's not just the Blues who are waiting now until tomorrow night. And I realize the players probably don't mind the downtime, at least early in the playoffs, because they had a mad dash to the finish. I know David Perron said it comes at a good time. Hell, Minnesota, they're back at home, like cutting their lawns. I mean, it's the weirdest deal. I just hate how it interrupts the flow, the momentum. Chicago is now, I don't know if they went home or not, but they're sitting in Nashville. It's Tuesday lunchtime right now.
They're at Tootsie's.
They don't play again until Thursday night. And I made this point yesterday that the Cardinals will have played an entire series with the Pirates before the Blues play another game. And somebody pointed out it'll actually be 4 Cardinal games because of the Sunday nighter in New York. So the Cardinals will have played 4 games before the Blues and Wild get back at it in their series. So somebody on Twitter took me on and said, that's because Scott Trade had a concert scheduled for tonight. So I checked with the Scott Trade people. They said, nope, no concert scheduled. The person on Twitter said, it was Lionel Richie, Mariah Carey, supposed to be tonight, but canceled. So I went back and looked, canceled on March 9th. The Scott Trade folks said to me, correct, canceled March 9th. Had no effect on the playoff planning. The person kept going back and forth. Get off my ass.
Get off him. I blame Neil Diamond, though. Neil Diamond in the show from last week still. One of the big talking points, though, that a lot of the players were asked about and were discussing just a couple of minutes ago when I was at Scott Trade Center was this whole fact that if you're thinking and hoping for a deep playoff run for the Blues, which we all are, just being able to sweep Minnesota and get that added rest as opposed to last season where, look, you went seven games, huge, heavy series against both the Blackhawks and then the Dallas Stars. You're going deep in both those series. Seven games. So if the Blues are going to run deep again this year, if you can bank some of those games, maybe Triad Bank, take it to the bank. Like Stastny comes back, everybody's rested, and you have a lot more in the bank, in the tank, for the second round.
Bank it and take it. Don't tank it. Yeah, finish them off tomorrow. So it's an 8:40-ish start for the Blues and Wild, Game 4 in St. Louis. We've got Cardinals and Pirates, Game 2 of their series later tonight. We're hanging at Patio's, of course, the best spot for the pre- and post-game fun, but also now the lunch menu. And, Chuck, we were saying today we're going to venture out a little bit. We've been eating the ribs, just $2 for a rib.
So good.
Almost one rib would fill you up, but you can get as many as you want, $2 per rib. You did the burger last time around. I did the pork steak, $5 for a pork steak. The entire menu, flip it open. Everything on this side, that's $2. Everything over here is $4. Everything here is $3, $5. You can get in, get out, have lunch for less than $10. Park and back. Lunch now every single day at Patio's. Doors open at 11 a.m. I'm gonna mix it up and go jasmine rice bowl today.
That sounds really good.
Slightly healthy.
Do they have any salads? Because, honestly, I'm 10 days out, and I have to make up for the fact that I have not done well with my diet over the last 2 or 3 months, working out as well. Although, like I said, I'm kind of one of those people back in college. I could not study until the night before. So now it's crunch time. Now I have no one else to blame but myself. I went and worked out last night at midnight. And this is what I'm going to do.
What high school? Gardner asked that earlier. What high school did you go to?
Gold Gym. We're trying to get them on board. So give us a call right there by the Kirkwood Brew House and where the station will be when it's all renovated there, Martin Kilcoyne. But 10 days out, I gotta eat really clean, and I got to work out every day at least once.
All right, you may want to go rice bowl because it's got fried cabbage, carrots, green onion, a little sriracha duck sauce drizzle. You can get that with some tri-tip. You get your protein in there. Bottom line is the food's great here. Stop by, say hi to Kenny Wallace. Also, Billy Finley is the guy that keeps Busch Stadium looking great. He's the head groundskeeper. He's been doing it since 1999. Doesn't matter if it's a soccer match or a concert, he's got to get that grass looking great.
And absolutely, Busch Stadium looks beautiful. The baseball on the field the first couple weeks of the season, not so great. But I think have we turned a corner, Martin, because
yesterday, they won a game.
Clean game. They win a close, good National League-style baseball game. No errors. I know Cardinals fans are happy to see the defense looking tight. Lance Lynn goes 7. The game was less than 2 hours and 15 minutes, so I'm sure Rob Manfred called Mike Matheny and said, good job, boys, with the pace of play. I'm not saying that, hey, all of a sudden they're going to win 6 or 7 straight, but that's the Cardinals team that a lot of people expected, just a good, quality baseball team.
That's exactly what you need, is not only to win a game, but to have a clean game. Son Watteau could have helped a little bit the ninth, reduced some of the drama there. That storyline continues. I thought it was interesting in the pregame, Mike Matheny, and you were there, Rich Gould was down there, you guys both had the same comment that he seemed almost a little down, but I thought it was noteworthy, as much as Mike keeps it positive, that he said, hey, you can ignore kind of what's going on, or you can look at it and say, this doesn't look right, the way we're playing, it doesn't look right. And I knew as soon as I tweeted that out, it's just going to lead to all the criticism.
It's never looked right, and it's his fault.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for stating the obvious. I thought it was notable that he was admitting it because he goes out of his way to be very positive. That's his style. That's his approach. But he was willing to say, of course, it doesn't look right. Not just that we're losing, but that the way that we're playing, it's what everybody else was saying, but you don't normally hear him admit something of that caliber.
Yes, and also maybe this led to his demeanor as well. He did say he was fighting some allergies, so maybe the way he sounded was a little different. But I totally agree with you in the sense that I also think Matheny is often defensive and very positive in kind of defending what they're doing. And that's where leading up to yesterday, before they played a quality baseball game, you couldn't defend what they were doing because everything looked wrong. And John Mozeliak said the same exact thing. And that's where you do have to make a change, because I know it was 12 games into the season, but it was also bad enough, and hopefully it isn't anymore. But all of a sudden, you could blink, and 2 weeks from now, the Blues are in the second round, and all of a sudden the Cardinals are 11 games below 500. I mean, that's the way it was trending.
John Mozeliak also addressed the Matt Adams issue, and maybe you could tell me, I don't know, I know you were in and out on some of the interviews there, but obviously he was asked about it, but he seemed pretty willing to address it. Here's what the GM, John Mozeliak, said about the left field experiment with Matt Adams.
Our off-season narrative was about defense. It was about being more athletic, and we're not living up to that. And obviously, we have to be held accountable for that. And that's something that we have to take a very hard look at.
So, how do you balance trying to improve your defense and the Matt Adams at left field?
You know, I honestly feel like for him to get playing time in left field, it's a hard place to do this in the big leagues. I think at the time we were trying to be creative and find a way to get him some at bats, but I do think that takes away from our main goal from a defensive standpoint. But arguably, as you sit here 3-9, you're trying to get the offense going as well as keep the defense going. So it's always that push pull, which is tough. But I do feel like, there's a better way to stay stronger defensively than perhaps Matt.
That sounds like the GM saying he wasn't a huge fan of it. He understood maybe why you'd give it a shot, but if a guy like Matt Adams isn't hitting, then you're not going to force the issue. And I think people were happy to hear that.
Yeah, and the Matt Adams, when we saw him floundering and he fell down the one time, it was a he wasn't hitting either. And if Matt Adams would have a couple three-run homers, if he was batting 350 in the first 12 games of the season, I do think you might see some of that. But again, most of that had to do with the fact that Stephen Piscotty was out for that period of time. But clearly, John Mozeliak was very candid yesterday in talking about the defense, discussing Matt Adams that you just heard about, and also Johnny Peralta, where he said, look, it's early, but he has not looked good. He has not been productive. And you don't want to be mean about it, but it's just the facts. This guy's a veteran. He's going to be 35 years old. Peralta is later this year. He's in the final year of his contract. And I know it's one game, and he had a lot of balls hit to him. But when you watched that game last night, it was just different watching Greg Garcia. He just looks so much more athletic in getting the balls. He's also hitting. It would not surprise me if you see a lot more of Greg Garcia.
It's funny because all these different positions that seemed to be in play early in the year. Last night, you look in left field, Grichuk has a diving catch, showing a glove in left field, something we've been talking about, if he's not out there. Also, catalyst to the run in the seventh inning by stealing a base and getting the errant throw. And then you have Colton Wong. We talk about second base. Who's going to play there? In New York, it was three different second basemen over three games. Wong gets the home run, kind of jump-starts things a little bit. They still don't hit much in that game, get two runs and win. But left field, second base, a couple of areas that we always seem to be, all right, is he going to play every day? I think Grichuk, to me, needs to play every day. I think most of us agree. Colton Wong is going to play the majority of the time at second base. Now, if he doesn't hit over a long stretch, then you can get worried about it. But third base, to me, is the bigger question mark right now. Who do you want playing there on a regular basis? I think tonight, my guess, you'll probably see Greg Garcia out there again, if I had to guess.
And also, when the season started, we all discussed Jose Martinez because he was this great story, this guy who'd been in the minor leagues and the Venezuelan leagues for a decade, and it was just that great story. And now, every time you see him, he's taking a good at-bat. He seems to be productive. I know yesterday, Matt Carpenter had this kind of gory finger issue. He was hit with a ground ball the day before, so the finger was swollen. So you had Jose Martinez batting fifth, playing first base. But when you're watching him, you're fine with that. He really does. I know we joke about it all the time. He really does take really professional at-bats. And most of the times you see him out there, you're happy with what he's doing. Now, again, I'm not saying that if he plays 150 games, he's going to hit 25 homers. maybe he could be overexposed, and it's best to use him in spots. But so far, so good.
Yeah, and Jose Martinez is a guy who had to spend about a decade in the minor leagues earning his stripes. Not everybody's a hotshot that comes into the league like the NFL is a big-time star. They roll out the red carpet for him, and then they just, you know, wait for the call from Canton. Not everybody lives the life of Isaac Bruce. He joins us now on 590 The Fan. He's back in St. Louis. Isaac, how are you?
Hey, what's up? How are you doing, man?
Were you enjoying those red-hot Cardinal takes, our baseball takes?
I was, man. Especially your commentary about Martinez, man. I think that's a great story, man. A decade in the minor league?
Yep, nearly a decade, just waiting for his chance. And now that he's up here, he just keeps on hitting. Did you play baseball as a kid?
No, Martin. I'm from where football is king, man. Either you play football or you just wait to mango season. So, no baseball for me.
Well, what else? You weren't just playing football year round. Would you play highlight?
Yeah. No, we played. we played football year round, man. Street football, pickup games, sad luck, and then organized football when it was time.
I thought I'd sneak in a highlight there, maybe. You know, being a South Florida guy. All right, well, you're in St. Louis, and I know you're on a little break. You're on your union break right now. Tell folks what you're doing in town.
I'm currently over at Lance Learning Center, and we're building a playground. So I was currently in charge of the letters that are on the playground, the letter A, letter B, letter C, and I was drilling and making sure they're tightly secured for the kids.
So the Isaac Bruce Foundation putting in a playground today back in St. Louis, and also I know spreading the word about the camp. We're doing the football camp again this summer?
Yeah, June 3rd is the date. Currently we have about 400 athletes already signed up, boys and girls. It's extended to 8 through 13 years old, two sessions, and it's going to be at Gateway High School. They were so gracious to us last year, they let us come back and use it again. So it's going to be fun. It's free T-shirts, giveaways when you come in. It's going to be a great time.
Isaac, we see you doing a lot of things still in the St. Louis community. Kurt Warner as well with the coat drive. A lot of Rams players, former players. Do you take a lot of pride in that? Obviously, no more team, but do you think it's still very important for the former Rams players to still maintain a presence here and to help out in the community?
Well, you know, we became a strong presence in the community while we were here, and I think it's only right that we, you know, remain here, and anything that we can do to further make a positive impact here in St. Louis, I think we're going to do it, you know, with myself and some of the other guys that you mentioned, so I think it's important to us, those guys, the city here gave us so much love, and we're just returning the love back.
Does it feel like yesterday? I mean, it does to me, that you guys were playing on Monday night and running up and down the turf at the Dome, and now we got this big empty building that has monster truck poles. I mean, it feels like a minute ago to me.
Yeah, man, it seems like it was just, you know, last year. I mean, so it's still fresh in our minds. It's still fresh in a lot of fans' minds. You know, every time I come here, you know, the first thing they say after we greet, you know, they point and bring up memories about the greatest show on turf. So it's very fresh here. I think those memories that we created will never die.
I would assume this summer, too, in Canton, when Kurt goes into the Hall of Fame, that's going to be a huge greatest show on turf reunion.
Yeah, it'll be fun, man. You know, I haven't got my invite yet, but I'm expecting it. But, you know, it's going to be great. It'll be great for, you know, Kurt and his family. It'll be also great for the fans here in St. Louis. I mean, they have an opportunity to drive up and see a person that was that developed as one of the best quarterbacks to play this game here in this city.
See, and you're very gracious. Now, for me, if I was a finalist for the Hall of Fame and I didn't quite get in, I would probably boycott the joint for at least a year. But I know you'll be there this summer awaiting that call. How do you approach it when – I know Aeneas went through this too, where you get close a couple of times.
Well, you know what? If Kurt wasn't going in, I think I would boycott. But, you know, I just can't do that. But anyway, you just remain patient. And, you know, when it comes by, when it comes and flashes through my mind, and I think about it, you know, I just give thanks. Thanks for the opportunity of being evaluated with some of the greatest players that have ever played our game. When you talk about the numbers, you're talking about 100 years of NFL professional football. Only 300 people have gone into that hall, into that fraternity, and they have gold coats, and you know it's only 107 that are walking around on the earth right now. So just to be even considered to be in that room to be evaluated like that is an honor within itself.
And again, Isaac is back in town. They're building a playground today. When you were a kid, how hard was it to find a playground in the neighborhood?
Well, I didn't have one in my neighborhood. So, you know, anywhere outside, a tree in the yard, you know, we take our opportunities to climb, strengthen our hands, our fingers, our legs, run up and down the streets all the time. And so we had an outdoor playground that was huge. We'd find an empty field where we can go play satellite football against another neighborhood. And those things were fun, man. You know, we didn't have the PlayStations or the iPhones and things, the iPads that we have now. So the outdoors, those were our friends.
And I know you're with your friends from Mercy last night. I saw with JJK, and you got a lot of the folks who've been with you from day one.
Yeah, we had fun at Mercy Mondays at the Cardinals game, man. So had an opportunity to go out and meet some people from some doctors from Washington, Missouri. They came in, enjoyed the game. You know, they beat up on the Pirates last night, which is great. Your guy Wong, he went. I was looking for Yadier. I guess he had the night off. And, you know, I was kind of disappointed that he didn't play.
I'm going to tell Matheny tonight. Isaac Roos was there. He paid good money to see Molina play, and you had him on the bench. Well, I know you're busy. You're supposed to be busy. Are you got a toolbox? What are you actually doing to help?
I'm actually drilling, Martin. So we're setting up the bolts, okay, the nuts, and then I come in. I drill it to make sure it's secure. So I'm kind of like the last inspector. So I make sure everything's secure. And exactly, I'm the closer. So make sure it's tight and that the kids will be safe while they're playing on it.
He's like OSHA. He comes by to make sure everything's up to code, okay, at the end of the whole deal. IsaacBruce.org is you can find out more about the foundation. I probably got that wrong. But basically, if you're interested in going to the football camp, it's a great event every summer. This year, Saturday, June 3rd, Isaac back in St. Louis putting on a free football clinic. Find out more about Isaac and the foundation by going online. Isaac has, you know, like 13, 14 brothers and sisters, but he counts me among those, Charlie. He's now up to about 16.
The brother from another mother.
There you go. I was going to say it.
Thank you. Clip that off. All right, great to talk to you. Glad you're back in town. We'll see you this summer. All right, Isaac Bruce, building a playground in town and then coming back later this summer.
Drilling.
Football camp.
Don't you feel like when it comes to playgrounds, that all the playground equipment that we grew up with, it's all outlawed now? You know, it's not safe. All like the teeter-totters and everything. If you think about putting your kids on some of the stuff back in the day, now I'll go to Tillis Park sometimes and look at the playground equipment. It's so much safer now.
I don't remember any warning symbols on anything. You know, you just sort of knew, like, oh, yeah, I saw Billy, the neighbor kid, fall the other day. Yeah, it was really bad. Don't do what he did. It was word of mouth.
You'd slide down the slide. There'd be like a shard of metal sticking out. Your mom's like, oh, it's fine. Then if you cut yourself, you wouldn't sue anyone. You know what I'm saying? You just put a Band-Aid on it.
All right, our first break here is the Midday Grind at Patio's. Kenny Wallace is in the house. We're going to talk a little racing, talk ribs and racing. That's the segment coming up today with Kenny joining us here on site. A little later, Billy Finley, who takes care of the grounds over at Busch Stadium. Also, Jason Isringhausen, the all-time saves leader, might be going into that Cardinal Hall of Fame. That vote has taken place. We find out later this summer. One of our sponsors this hour is Window World. Window World is simply the best for less. It's the home of the original $189 window. They've been around St. Louis since 2003. If you're in the market for new windows, and you know what it's like in the summer when that hot air starts coming through the windows, you're wasting money. Set up an appointment at 993-1800, also on the web at windowworld.com. Low cost, high quality, great warranty, and supervised installation. Every single window is custom made. It's windowworld.com. Even if you're not in the market for windows, you can get siding and patio doors. Set up the appointment with the St. Louis original here, Window World, at 993-1800.